We're speaking with Dr. Helen Caldicott, the longtime critic of nuclear power and especially the madness of nuclear weapons. Her latest book is Nuclear Power is Not the Answer. Dr. Caldicott, on January 7th, the New York Times published an article titled U.S. Selecting Hybrid Design for Warheads. Apparently, the Bush regime has sanctioned the construction of new nuclear weapons instead of the disarmament that was the hope of millions. And this is all in the name of safety. What do you make of all this?
This is nothing new. There have been plans on the drawing board for some years now called the Stockpile Stewardship and Maintenance Program to be taken place at the nuclear weapons labs, namely Los Alamos and Lawrence Livermore. It was apparently to upgrade the weapons to make sure they were reliable, i.e. that they would land exactly on target, and b. that they would explode with the kilotonnage or megatonnage with which they were designed to do. However, the truth is, if you read my second to last book, The New Nuclear Danger, George Bush's Military-Industrial Complex, the labs are involved and have been for some years now in a program which is building, designing, testing and developing brand new nuclear weapons. So this article that came out on the 7th of January in the New York Times really is reporting nothing new. It's just that people don't realize that these activities are ongoing.
And they're called reliable replacement warheads. Doesn't that underline what many have been saying all along, that the thousands of nuclear weapons are unsafe wherever they are and could be grabbed by terrorists as well?
Well, the new nuclear weapons are unsafe and can be grabbed by terrorists as well if they go ahead as designed and are built. They talk about reliability, and they're worried that the plutonium, which is the fuel for the nuclear weapon, will degrade over time. But a new study has shown that the plutonium remains reliable and will explode as planned for the next 100 years. The Jasons, who are a scientific group who oversee the labs, continuously say that the reliability is absolutely more than 90%, maybe 99%. And so it's a subterfuge. It's what they're really doing is building new nuclear weapons under the guise of reliability. The old weapons are reliable, but the truth is that now the Cold War's over, these weapons should be eliminated. Well, they should never have been built. Of the 30,000 hydrogen bombs in the world today, 30,000, America and Russia own 97% of them. They still target each other on hair trigger alert with thousands of bombs on their missiles ready to go at any second on any day. And the Pentagon still maintains a policy to fight and win a preemptive secret nuclear war against Russia. So that we live on the edge of nuclear catastrophe more so now than we did during the height of the Cold War.
But why would the Bush regime be pushing for new nuclear weapons?
Because they want to keep the labs in operation. They want the fellows to be paid to design new nuclear weapons. They want new scientists to enter the workforce of the weapons designers and builders. They want the labs to be kept open for no real reason. I mean, you ask me that question, it's really a rhetorical question, to which I have no adequate response except to say that I think subliminally this is an indication of power and control and prestige of the nuclear weapons labs and their scientists. That's all.
And these new weapons have never been tested, and the Times claims Robert Joseph, the Undersecretary of State for Arms Control, has said the White House shouldn't make any commitment about testing the weapon underground. And I thought the American government was already committed to ending nuclear testing.
Now, there's been talk over the last few years because of what the labs are doing about actually reintroducing real nuclear weapons testing. In fact, they are testing weapons as I speak, not to produce nuclear explosions per se, but simulated nuclear explosions underground. They're testing, quotes, the hydrodynamics of plutonium just before it explodes with huge computerized experiments. But if they build new weapons of a totally new design, they will be really obliged to test them in their mines, so that the complete test ban treaty that Kennedy brought into effect, which it's only a partial test ban treaty, sorry, it's a complete test ban treaty, will be violated and they'll start testing again, I think, if the Bush administration and the labs are allowed to get away with what they're doing at the moment.
Well, I'd like to move on to another imminent danger. The Sunday Times has reported that Israel plans to use so-called mini-nukes to destroy an Iranian enrichment facility deep underground, and some claim these nuclear bombs would be 1/15 the size of that dropped on Hiroshima. Where would Israel get such a weapon?
Israel has, some say, the third largest nuclear arsenal in the world. They've got between 200 and 400 hydrogen bombs. I'm surprised you asked that question because I thought it was common knowledge. They have always refused to confirm or deny they have nuclear weapons, although the other day Prime Minister Olmert made a mistake and actually admitted that Israel does have nuclear weapons. Everybody knows they do, and so they've got lots of weapons at their disposal.
Well, I suppose my thinking was that it's been the United States who have been bragging about their bunker busters and nuclear tactical nukes. I was wondering whether Israel might get it directly from the United States, as they do so many other weapons.
No, I think that they've built their own weapons. You're right, they certainly do develop many of the new weapons that the Pentagon is about to build. Actually, they often build them before the Pentagon has built them. They have spies, they have personnel within the Pentagon, and they're way ahead in weapons development and design, ahead of the Pentagon in many cases.
And what changes would you see to the world's nuclear landscape if Israel or the United States uses the first nuclear weapon in anger since Nagasaki in 1945?
It would be an absolute total catastrophe, because it would say that Israel and America, or America, are prepared to use nuclear weapons, giving the green light for any other countries to use nuclear weapons. And there are countries who may well do that, including Pakistan and India, who got to within really hours of having a nuclear war in 1999 over the dispute over the Kashmir border. Australia is selling uranium now to Taiwan and to China, and that's a dispute which is ongoing, and Taiwan could well make nuclear weapons from the uranium and from the nuclear facilities fueled by Australian uranium. There are hot spots in the world now where if America and Israel use nuclear weapons, and incidentally millions could be killed from the fallout, there's been a study done by Physicians for Social Responsibility. So medically, it would be a total catastrophe, internationally a total catastrophe, and also, if weapons are used in this case, it could invoke enormous international anxiety. We have a man in the White House now who I would say is not exactly emotionally stable, and under such circumstances, mistakes are made. And it could trigger a nuclear holocaust between Russia and America by accident or by human fallibility. So we're talking about many levels of a problem which is ongoing and which has never been solved and never been fixed.
Many people seem to be tuning out anything nuclear, thinking the danger has gone away, and it is so frightening. How could we re-energize the anti-nuclear movement to these grave and continuing dangers?
That's a good question. I think that people got terribly sick and tired of thinking about nuclear war during the 80s, and when the Cold War ended, they thought, thank God, it's all over. It's true, they need to be re-energized. The anti-nuclear movement needs to become powerful yet again. I suppose I would suggest that people read my last two books, The New Nuclear Danger, George Bush's Military Industrial Complex, to catch up on the incredible nuclear nightmare that still exists between Russia and America and could trigger a holocaust tonight or tomorrow. And they should read my next book called Nuclear Power is Not the Answer to Global Warming, about the resurgence of the nuclear industry saying they're the answer to global warming, which they are not, then I think that if you become well informed, read those books and really understand and learn what's in them, you will become re-energized. You will have a huge amount of information and you will work out what you are going to do. Canada is part of NORAD and is part of the First Strike Nuclear War System. You have a huge responsibility to the world. You could take the lead and remove yourselves from NORAD, as New Zealand removed itself, not from the ANZUS Treaty, but prevented nuclear weapons entering their harbours from America years ago and suffered no ill effects. Canadians could take the lead in sort of moving the world towards sanity and survival in this very dangerous nuclear era.
And you have a couple of websites, do you? Can you tell our listeners what they are?
Yes, the website, the operative website for my institute is called nuclearpolicy.org. That's for the Nuclear Policy Research Institute in Washington. And my personal website is helencaldicott.com.
And finally, when I read about presidents and generals discussing the need to make more weapons so they could incinerate millions of people at a time, it's really difficult to suppress my rage, and you are at the focus of this urge. How do you survive this madness and keep on going?
I think at the moment I practice a degree of psychic numbing. I know all the facts. I write about it consistently. I'm thoroughly involved in it, but I block out my emotions. Until yesterday, when a man turned up who's making a film about what is happening in Australia in terms of uranium and nuclear power and storage of foreign radioactive waste, and I suddenly became profoundly depressed when I let it in. Australia's at a very horrifying sort of crossroads at the moment with a very dangerous Prime Minister who's totally pro-nuclear. I work a lot in my garden. I suppose the real answer to your question is that if I didn't do this work, I would become extremely depressed and have nightmares, so that I have a sense that if I do the work, I'm helping to fix the situation. Whether I am or not is a different question. But it seems to satisfy my psyche that at least I'm being constructive and not destructive by denying or ignoring reality.
Well, I think that's a good answer for all of us, and we've been speaking with Dr. Helen Caldicott, and thank you so much for talking with us today.
Well, thank you, and good luck to all of you. I think we're at a very important turning point in the history of the human race.
We are. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye.
This is Alex Smith of Radio EcoShock. For more free downloads, visit our website at www.ecoshock.org.